hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. And I hope you got your seat belts fastened, because here comes Advent. 90 miles an hour down a dead-end street. Life's going to pick up in the next few weeks. So this morning, this past week, I was praying about, Lord, what do you want us to think about this morning? And clear as the Holy Spirit speaks, commitment. Commitment. Commitment is defined as someone entrusting their lives to someone else. And we get so busy this time of the year with all the activities and the special times of worship and all the parties, and the next thing you know, it's December 31st and everybody's tired and sick. And what have we accomplished? So before we enter this season that is so special for believers, remembering the birth of Christ, the salvation that we have in Christ, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to think about the commitment that God has made to His people. And then we need to think about the commitment that we have made to Him. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. And in this passage of Scripture, we're going to see God's commitment to us. And we're going to see the commitment that we should have in our hearts to Him. So before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, we continue to worship you in this time that you've given to us to honor your holy and majestic name. And I pray, Father, that as we have worshiped you to this point, you have been honored. You have been pleased with us. We thank you that as we have confessed our sin and asked for forgiveness, you have forgiven us and you've cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Now we come to your throne of grace with hearts focused on you, committed to you and to you alone. So instruct us from your word this morning what that commitment means as you have outlined it in this particular passage of Scripture. I pray, Father, that you will instruct us by your Holy Spirit, that your children would be strengthened and encouraged and refreshed and renewed in their relationship with you. And oh, how I pray for those who are here this morning and do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Oh, that you would reveal yourself to them. Show them your grace and your mercy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ by enabling them to see their sin and to confess and repent and ask for your forgiveness, believing that Jesus is your Son, and He came and He did indeed die for their sin and was raised from the dead. Continue to bless us in our worship this morning. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hebrews 10:19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. You may be seated. In verses 19 through 21, we're going to see God's commitment to His people. This is the same God that the choir has sung about, the Almighty God. This is a commitment, God entrusting Himself to us, to you and to me. Well, let's look at these passages. First of all, look at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, let's stop there. What does that mean? It points us back to chapter 9. If you'll turn back to chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. This is what commitment God has made to us. Chapter 9, 11 through 14. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is the commitment that our Heavenly Father made to us by His Son. His Son pouring out His own blood, shedding His own blood, pouring out His own life, that you and I would have life. And notice He obtained for us eternal redemption. And this is, we're not talking about a ceremonial cleansing here. The author talks about the cleansing and the purifying of the conscience. The conscience being that spiritual perception that you and I have. When you and I sin, our conscience are pricked. We know we've sinned against God. We know we're guilty. And when we confess that sin and repent and ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. And then when we obey the Lord and we follow His word, the conscience then is filled with peace and joy. And the relationship that we have with Christ is what it's supposed to be. That love of the Lord in us, that conscience is so much aware of the presence of God. That's a commitment the Almighty God has made to His children. That's the commitment that we have from Him on a daily basis. Now, let's go back to chapter 10 and pick it up at verses 20 and 21. Well, notice in 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Christ, because of this commitment that our Heavenly Father has made for you and me and to you and me, we have confidence to enter into His presence. We can enter into His presence anytime for any reason, and He will receive us. He'll never reject us. Now look at 20 and 21. By the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, He was being crucified. And in Matthew 27, in verse 51, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. That curtain that is referred to here is the curtain that kept the people of God separated from Himself, because Christ had not offered Himself for our sin at this point. And when Jesus Christ died for your sin and mine, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. And the way for you and me to enter into the presence of God was opened wide. So we have that privilege of entering into the presence of our Heavenly Father. This is a commitment. He's entrusted us to Himself, enabling you and me through Christ to come to Him any given time for any reason. And we see also in this passage that we have a great priest over the house of God. He's Jesus Christ is our great priest. The priest on earth would have to offer sacrifices all the time, and they served for a time, and then they were gone, and new priests would be put in their place. This is not the case with Christ. He is our priest, period. There's no other priest to follow. There's no other priest to look to. He's it. And He's made that kind of a commitment to you and to me for eternity. He's always there. Now, let's look at this passage in verse 23. In 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a true heart. Every time you and I worship, every time you and I pray, we need to come into His presence with a true heart, which means we admit our sin. We're not perfect. We have sin in our lives. And when we come into His presence, the first thing we need to do is to confess that sin, acknowledge it, repent, and ask for forgiveness. And then we come in not only with a true heart, but in faith. We believe He is who He says He is. And He's there for you and me. And He's listening. His ear is attentive to our cry, we're told in the Psalms. That's the commitment He's made. God doesn't have voicemail. The communication between you and your Heavenly Father doesn't break down unless we hold sin in our hearts. And we refuse to confess and repent. That line of communication is open. Every day. All the time. And He's made that kind of commitment to you and to me personally. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that kind of commitment from Him. And we're told here that we draw with assurance of faith. And our hearts are clean. Then he goes on to say in verse 23, this begins our commitment to Him. This is where you and I need to think, okay, this is what God has committed to you and me personally. Now, this is a commitment that I have made to Him. Let's look at this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us hold fast that confession. We've made a profession of faith. We confess that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And we have eternal life in Him, in Him alone. We don't waver on that. We stand firm in that confession of faith. It doesn't matter who we are around, what we are doing. That is what I believe. That's what you believe. And we will not waver from that commitment that we've made. We also see here that we hold fast to that confession without wavering. And the reason we do that, the word for gives us the reason there. For He who promised is faithful. God is faithful to His people. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he won't. And he has not. And he will not. He's always there for us. Now, this commitment that you and I've made, look at 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider how to stir up one another. Boy, we're good at stirring each other up, are we not? You know how to push a button on somebody? You know how to get under their skin, so to speak? I got two phrases I could yell out right now, and I'd have every one of you mad at me. You know what that phrase is, and I'm not going to say it. I've already stirred you up. But what about stirring up to good works, to love and to good works? What about encouraging each other in our walk with the Lord and our relationship with the Lord, in worshiping the Lord together and serving the Lord together? This is how we need to think about the commitment that we've made to the Lord and the commitment we have made to one another to encourage each other and to stir each other up. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Notice the next phrase, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some. Not neglecting the meeting together. Dr. Kistemacher, Simon Kistemacher, in his commentary on the book of Hebrews, makes the statement that within the first century of early Christian era, they were having trouble with people coming to worship. Within the first century, they had people who did not take seriously worshiping together, not take seriously worshiping the Lord. We still have it, do we not? Here we have the true and living God that has committed himself to us on a daily basis, demonstrating his love to you and me by sending his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins, giving us 6 days to work and do what we want to do, 1 day to honor him, to exalt him, to give him thanks. Where's our commitment? Now, you're here. And I appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord. And I know this is a holiday. But what makes the body of Christ weak is the lack of God's people worshiping and honoring him and being instructed from his word. So when you and I live our daily lives in a world that is so spiritually dark and evil and ungodly, no wonder this nation is in the problem it's in. It's a spiritual problem with ungodly leaders who want to deny God and his presence. It's a spiritual problem we're in. So we need to stir brothers and sisters in Christ up. You and I need to be stirred up as well as we worship together to encourage one another so we don't neglect the meeting together as the habit of some is. But notice what we're supposed to do in our commitment to Christ. Encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. This word encourage is an interesting word. It means to come alongside of and to put your arm around and help. You know, I heard of a football coach, and I don't recall who did this, but he told his players, if you ever get hurt, the only way you're going to get off that field is get up and get off on your own power. We're not coming after you. I really would like to play for that guy, wouldn't you? We're in a war. We're in a spiritual war. And Satan tries to destroy us and to defeat us and to discourage us. And that war can be very intense at times. And it can be very subtle at times. But it's always there. And it causes weariness and despondency. And sometimes we just want to forget it. I'm not going to put forth the effort. That's a dangerous mindset to be in. And it's those times we need to be aware of brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling and to reach out to them. And not to sit back and criticize and wonder, where are they? Why aren't they here? But how about calling and finding out why they're not here? And see what we can do or what you can do personally to encourage them to be here. Another part of that war is to entice us. Satan entices us with the things of the world, to give a higher priority with the things of the world instead of the things of God. Do you really have to be in church every Sunday? Good night. Why don't we just worship 52 straight days and get it over with? To draw us away from the fellowship with the Lord and with one another. Cause us to think, I'm not going to be missed. Yes, you will be. You're part of a family. Family of God. And when your family members are not at home, don't you miss them? Don't you miss that family member? Do you miss being here? Do you miss that? I do. We're all vital. We're all important. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That talks about the body, compares the physical body with the body of Christ, and how important every part of the body is to the other members. We are very important to each other. And it's for our spiritual good and for the honor and glory of God. And how we need to have a love for the Lord to want to be here and honor Him on that one day a week. So that when we live our lives in the coming week, we will honor Him on those days as well. And to be encouraged. And I know there are days that we'll be providentially hindered. That says, I'm sick and I can't be here. If you got the flu, don't come to church, okay? Stay at home. If you got fever or contagious, stay at home. Good night. Don't wipe us all out. Use the old common sense a little bit. Otherwise, we need to be here to encourage each other, to build each other up in the faith. And notice it says here in this last phrase, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Look at the word day. It's capitalized. That day is the second coming of Christ. Every Lord's Day should prepare us for the second coming of Christ. For us to look forward to the coming of Christ. Not to dread it. And to prepare us to live our lives on a daily basis. God has made a commitment. He's entrusted Himself to you and to me in Christ. And He lives in us by His Holy Spirit. And you know the most amazing thing about this commitment God has made to you and me? When did He do it? When did God make that commitment? Before the foundation of the world. He made that kind of commitment to you and me, knowing that we're going to sin against Him, turn against Him, and not be faithful to Him. And you know what's even more amazing? He's still faithful to us. Think of the faithfulness of God to us and the commitment that He's made to you and to me for eternity. Now, compare His commitment to you personally and to me, and then compare our commitment to Him. Whoa. Doesn't even come close, does it? But He still loves us. He's still committed to us. So, brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful time of the year we're in. When we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, His love, His grace, His mercy, His joy. Oh, it's an awesome time of the year. And as we go through these next few weeks, focusing on Christ, let's not forget the commitment He's made to us. And let's think about the commitment we've made to Him. And whatever way we might be a little weak, by God's grace and the power of the Spirit of God, let's strengthen it. And if we know brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling and they're just kind of going through a tough time in their life right now, give them a call. Let them know you miss them. Let them know you care. That commitment is powerful and special. Let's not forget it or be weak in it in the remainder of this year. If you don't know what this commitment means, if you don't know what it means to have Christ as Savior, you've got to have Him as your Savior. You got to believe He is indeed the Son of God. He came into this world and died for your sins and was raised from the dead. And through Him you have eternal life. That's where it begins. So if you're not sure about your commitment to Christ, I want to speak to you when this service is over. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, how we praise Your holy and majestic name for the life You've given to us in Christ, for Your commitment to us and the eternal salvation that we have in Christ. I pray, Father, that You've instructed us by Your Spirit from Your Word, and You have encouraged us in our relationship with You. I pray that wherever we're weak in our commitment to You, that by Your Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, that commitment would be stronger. And as we move forward into the remaining month of this year, remembering the birth of Christ, we will continue to honor You in the commitment we've made to You. And we will continue to be the light that You've called us to be. Speak to our hearts, Lord. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, Take My Life and Let It Be. May it be more than just a hymn we sing, but a commitment, a renewal of the commitment to Christ. Shall we stand? always remember the commitment God has made to us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.